This morning, I want us to look at a passage, and it's a passage that's connected to the Christmas story, but it's a little early. And so as we're going to share that, it is going to be in Luke chapter 1. So if you want to turn there. This is one that probably 2 weeks or so ago, I was listening to a podcast, and it was a very good podcast. I don't even remember now who it was, but anyway, he shared one thing in there that stuck with me that I just can't get out of my mind. And I'm literally laying awake last night at a quarter till midnight with this running through my head, and it was the message that I had studied and written and prepared over the past probably 2 weeks. But it come out of this passage, and it became so much more and so real. And so this morning we are going to read that story about Christ's birth being announced to Mary. And so we'll start in verse 26 of chapter 1 of Luke. And so if you want to follow along. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just pray right now that as we read this passage, Lord, that it would come alive to us. Lord, that your Spirit would open it up, open our hearts and our minds to hear from you. Lord, may we not walk out of this place this morning the same way we walked in. May we be different because of you, because of all you desire to do in each of us. May you be honored and glorified. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this message is "His Presence Makes a Difference." I want us to stop and think. Each one as an individual, you need to stop and think about the difference that God has made in your life. And not just the difference that He has made in your life, but the difference He is making in your life. So many times I may walk through the school or walk through someplace downtown or Walmart or wherever, and I may walk through and never make a difference. And that's understandable, that I may never make a difference. Because I'm just one person, I'm nothing special, I'm just somebody that happens to be in a crowded place. And so for us really to make a difference sometimes, we understand that. But there is no way that the presence of God can be in your life and in my life and not make a difference. We talk about all the time that Jesus is the reason for this season. Yes, He is the reason, but is He the difference? Is there a difference because of the presence of Jesus in our lives? I want to look at four different instances, and not just in this passage, but in the Christmas story overall. But like I said earlier, that one thing that pastor said when he mentioned that when Mary came in and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. The presence of Jesus made John the Baptist leap. He wasn't even born. But just the presence of Jesus changed his position. He's inside Elizabeth, and when the presence of Jesus comes up, he leaps. It tells us that twice in that passage. It changed his position. Now, I don't know how it all works. I know when my wife was having our kids, I could sit there and I could poke my wife's stomach and my son would kick back. And I loved that. She didn't care much for it, but I loved it. But I could alter his position just by tickling his foot. I could see his foot and I could tickle his foot. And it would become very uncomfortable, obviously, for my wife. But I would do that to aggravate both of them. One didn't like it very well. The other one, by the time he was born or she was born, they never said anything. But I could alter their position just by a touch. Jesus altered John's position by a touch of His presence. So I want to ask you this morning, how long has it been since the presence of God altered your position? Has it altered your walk? Has it altered how you do things? Has the presence of God in your life changed your position? Has it changed how you talk? Has it changed how you react to people, how you treat people, how you respond to how they treat you? Because there is no way that the presence of Jesus in my life, we know that the Holy Spirit is in us. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit indwells anyone who has accepted Christ. He lives within us. His presence is within us. How is that possible then that I can walk through a day and His presence never affect my life? And we all do it. Because the presence is there, but the problem is the submission is not. The acknowledgement is not. The presence of Jesus in our lives has to affect our position. So if it doesn't, what is affecting our position? If the presence of God, the Holy Spirit living in me, is not affecting my position, then what is? Me being the Lord of my life. You being the Lord of your life controls your position. The presence of Jesus. We don't know the situation other than Elizabeth was in her house and Mary comes in, and when Mary speaks, just the presence of Jesus alters John's position. Do you want your position altered? We don't have any way to know, but I can't imagine that John wanted his position altered. And maybe Elizabeth didn't even want it altered. But when the power of God is there, it wants to alter our position. The baby leaped even if it's just a little baby leap, even if it's just a little baby step, that the presence of God changes in our lives. People ought to notice. People around us should notice. Elizabeth noticed that the baby leaped. Do the people around you notice that the position, the presence of Jesus in your life has altered your position? Can they tell? And again, I'm not a doctor, but there's a process when that woman is pregnant that she does not feel that baby kick. And then one day that baby begins to kick and squirm, and before you know it, it was really cute at first. And then after a while, it's no longer cute because you can't sleep, your husband can't even sleep because you're not going to let him sleep. But it's that understanding that something happened at that point to where he began to, or she began to move, and it affected the people around him. Has his presence changed your position enough to affect the people around you? That's our first question. Second one. And this one, it's in a different passage, but it goes on. But I don't have time to read all of the Christmas stories this morning. But it's that it affects your praise. The presence of Jesus affects praise. Now think about this. We talked about the wise men here a while back, and here they had walked 800 to 900 miles and they traveled and they followed the star and they get there. And we know that these are astrologers. We call them wise men, but they were astrologers from Persia. And they are very knowledgeable men. They're very wise men. And all we know about them, one of the things we know is that they were pagans. They were not what we would call Christians. They were not followers of the God of Israel. And so they took what they knew as a faith, or what they knew as a religion, that paganism, that worshiping all these other gods, and all of a sudden they come into the presence of Jesus, and it changes their praise. They come and they're offering gifts, and that's one thing when they offer the gifts, but when they begin to worship. They came wanting to know about this King of the Jews. They came wanting to understand that this star that they followed had brought them to this point. Where was this one born King of the Jews? And we know that story. And then when they walk in, they don't just bring this king gifts. They bring Jesus worship. When they walked into His presence, it changed their praise. Does the presence of Jesus change your praise? Well, we come in here this morning and we had the words up here and they're leading us in songs, praise songs. It's not what I'm talking about. We are so blessed to have that. Other churches are so blessed to have praise and worship leaders. But praise has to start from the presence of God. When you acknowledge the presence of God, it will change your praise. Well, I wasn't praising before until I got to thinking about it. Yes, you were. It's just you weren't praising God. You were praising your life. You were praising people around you. You were praising your job, your car, your kids. You were praising something with your life until you acknowledged the presence of God. And then when you acknowledge the presence of God, all of that paganism, all of that, those gifts, all of the things that were so important pass away. Because the presence of God changes your praise. Now, we can back that up a little bit, get kind of pointed and say, are we praising God? We're singing the words that are up there. That's not necessarily praising God. It's a part of it. But praising God is when we understand what He's done for us in His presence, and when His presence comes into us and we acknowledge His presence. His presence cannot be here and not have a response. The same way that baby leaped, that was the response to the presence of Jesus. When there's recognition of the presence of Jesus, there has to be a response. And one of those responses is praise. And that is not confined to Sunday morning right before the sermon. It should not be confined to my time when I get up in the morning and I set out and I read my Bible or I listen to a devotion or whatever, however you do it. It cannot be confined to that. The praise should be a part of our life if the presence of God is a part of our life. The amount of praise that I have in my life reflects the amount of presence that I feel in my life. Now understand that I said the amount that I feel because the presence of God is there, but I can quench it. I can keep it down. But the presence of God is always going to be It's going to reflect and respond into praise. When you stop and you think about what He did. In the fullness of time, it tells us in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son to be born of a virgin for us. When you understand that and you realize you are in the presence of God, how can you not praise? How can you not praise Him for what He's done? When you realize the God of this universe sent His Son because He loved you. Can you go on and live your life normal? Can you go on and be focused on everything that is not going to matter? Last night, like I told you, I was awake at a quarter to 12. And all that could run through my mind as I'm laying there is that song, The Midnight Cry. If you've ever heard that. Talks about at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. And I sat there and I thought, what if, and I know it's not by our clock. God doesn't work by our clock. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking, what if in 15 minutes at the midnight, there was a midnight cry and we would be going home? You know what? My grandson's having surgery on the roof of his mouth on Tuesday. That didn't matter if we're going home in 15 minutes. Nothing mattered. All of the problems, all of the things that I wanted to do, all the things I'm looking forward to, all the things I'm dreading, nothing mattered when I thought about being in the presence of God in 15 minutes. Nothing else mattered. So how can I get up this morning and walk up here and knowing that I could be in His presence in 15 minutes and think of all these things that matter to me that I have no control over? Because in 15 minutes you could be in His presence. And at that point there will be nothing but praise. That's what we ought to look forward to. And understand that yes, I will be in His presence when He splits that eastern sky or when He takes my final breath here, will be my first breath there. Whenever that happens, however that happens, I will be in His presence then. But I'm in His presence now. So why am I waiting to praise Him and glorifying Him then when I walk in His presence now? When His Spirit indwells in us now. Why do we wait when the presence of God needs to alter our praise? And not just verbally to other people, but to Him. Praising Him for who He is. Not just for what He's done, but just for who He is. His presence has to alter our position. It has to alter our praise. And then if we go to the story about the shepherds, here they are out in the field and they're watching their flocks by night. They're keeping these flocks, keeping watch over them, protecting them. This was the area where people would come and they would get a sheep for a sacrifice. And so it was around there in, near Bethlehem, because that's what they would do, and they would protect these sheep. And that was their priority. That was their job. And then the angels come and they tell them about the birth of Jesus. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So the presence of God is there. And what happens? But their priorities changed. Man, their livelihood was all about these sheep. And then when the glory of God shone round about them, when the presence of God shows up, their priorities change. When we walk in the presence of God, our priorities will change. When we don't walk in the presence of God, our priorities will change. We have to understand that walking in the presence of God is not just knowing who He is. It's not just understanding what He's done, but it is truly walking in a relationship, communicating two ways, and it's not a one-way communication, but it's two ways of communicating with God, talking to Him, listening to Him, desiring to please Him, seeking Him. His presence is going to change my priorities. I've got a lot of things in my life that are really important. Like I said, I've got another grandson going to be born in March, and they're getting to come in next week, and I'm thinking about all these things, about where everybody's going to stay and how we're going to do all this, and I'm thinking about all these good things. But at 11:45 last night, God says, no, it needs to be about Me. Because in 15 minutes, you could be in My presence. And immediately, my priorities changed. There was no fear. I wasn't afraid because I know my salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. By faith alone, by grace alone, through Jesus, my salvation is set, secure. So I was not worried. There was no fear. But it was the understanding that the presence of God changed my priorities. Just that fast. So why does it have to change? Where were my priorities before? They weren't bad. They were on good things. But it wasn't about Jesus. Our priorities must be Jesus first. Not split them half Jesus, half Steve. That's not the way it works. The presence of God changed those shepherds' priorities in an instant. Man, when the glory of the Lord shone round about them, it changed everything. Leave the sheep and let's go to town. Let's go find this Jesus. How long has it been since the presence of God has caused us just to drop everything and go after Him? Well, we're doing good things. That's not what I'm talking about. So it's going to change our position, it's going to change our praise, and it's going to change our priorities. And I know all of you that are out there, English teachers, Josie, I'm sorry, the rest of you English teachers, I'm sorry, but I had to come up with another P to get it to fit. So we got position, praise, priorities, and we're going with post-life. Sorry. That's all I got. But the presence of God is going to affect your post-life, your afterlife, if you want to be correct. The presence of God is going to affect it. Either the lack of His presence in your life, or His presence indwelling in your life and the relationship you have, it is going to affect it. The presence of God is going to make a difference in where you spend eternity. The same presence that alters your position, that alters your praise, and that alters your priorities is going to affect and alter your post-life. And if it's going to alter my life after I die, then it needs to alter it before. But too many times, it's just there. And we always talk about the dusty Bible that sits on the shelf. Of course, nowadays, so many times we use our phone or we use a tablet or whatever to read Scripture. But the bottom line is, the understanding is the same. That if my Bible is gathering dust, then my spiritual life is probably gathering dust. And if my spiritual life is gathering dust, it's because I'm not walking in the presence. I'm not accepting the presence. I'm not acknowledging the presence. I'm not recognizing the presence of God in my life. And when we don't do that, if you don't recognize Him, you will never respond to Him. If you don't respond to Him, there will never be any change. If I don't recognize Him, if John didn't recognize Him, there would have been no leaping. If the wise men didn't recognize Him, there would have been no worship. If the shepherds didn't recognize Him, there would have been no change in priorities. If you don't recognize Him, there will be no eternity in heaven for you. I don't know how else to say that. But we have to understand that the presence of God is not just something that we will one day be in. When He brings me home, whether I meet Him in the clouds or whether He ushers me into heaven, I'm going to be in His presence then. But too many times you and I don't live like we're in His presence now. And if you and I as Christians don't live like we're in His presence, then how can we expect anybody that is downtown or across the street or wherever ever to see anything in our life and think, whatever they've got going on is different. Whatever that Jesus stuff that they're claiming is altering their life. Their religion, their relationship is changing their life. And my life's not going so well, so maybe that's worth looking at. If you and I don't walk and acknowledge and recognize and respond to the presence of God in our lives, then the world is not going to either. And in 15 minutes, they will no longer be in the presence of God. As we close this morning, and I know it's a little early, I apologize for getting you out early. It's going to upset a lot of you, I understand that. But you know, that's where we're at this morning. And so I want to go back over this, not to try to run through it saying, well, you know, they're not getting it type of deal. It's not that. But recognition has to bring a response. Only you can monitor your response, you and God alone. You may see me dressed up in my tie and my dress clothes, and think, oh, well, he's He's walking according to that response. You don't know that. And I may see you, and I may see you carrying your Bible, or I may see you doing all the things, taking notes, whatever. And I may think, oh, well, they're responding to the recognition. I don't know that. But He does. And so He's the one you're going to have to stand before, not me. He's the one I'm going to have to stand before, not you. If you've never recognized Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never recognized what He done when in the fullness of time, at the perfect timing, and if you stop and you go back through history, Alexander the Great had just conquered the known world, and everybody began to speak basically the same language so they could communicate. And so many things like that all come together so that when Christ was born, everybody could communicate. It was the perfect timing. They had went through what was known as the quiet years, where they didn't feel like God was speaking. There were no prophets. Nothing was written. And then at the culmination of that, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is born of a virgin in a small, insignificant Bethlehem town. And it changed the world. That was perfect timing. That's what God did. I can know that. I can read that. I can study that. But until I respond to that, it does nothing. And then I can read about how He lived a perfect, sinless life, 100% God and 100% man. And at the end of His life, He lays down His life as a sacrifice, because the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. And so at the end of His life, He lays down His life to pay the debt that I couldn't pay. And when He does that, I have to recognize it. And I have to respond to it. And then He rose 3 days later, was seen by many, many people. And He ascended from the Mount of Olives right before their eyes. And the Bible tells us that one day He's going to come back to that same mountain, and His feet are going to be right on that same mountain, and it's going to split that mountain from east to west. And I can know all of that, but until I respond to it, nothing matters. I can have all that knowledge. I can go to church every Sunday. I can preach that knowledge. But if that knowledge doesn't bring response, then in 15 minutes, I'm out of luck. My response, your response, has to alter my position, how you live your life, how I live my life. You've got to answer that. I've got to answer that. That response is going to alter my praise. Is it just going to be an hour a week, maybe two? Or is it going to be a lifetime of praise, lifting up the precious Son of God with our life? That response has to alter my priorities, not just over bad things, but over good things, to where God knows, God sees, people see that He is my number one priority. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. If it alters my position, my praise, and my priorities, then it will ultimately alter my post-life. Does the presence of God affect your life? Not the knowledge of God. Not the wisdom about Him. Not the miracles He's doing in everybody else's life. Does His presence alter you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for all that You do. Lord, we talk about you, we think about you, we sing to you. But God, help us experience your presence. Today, may we go from this place knowing that the presence of God is here because you love us. Lord, may we turn in turn love you. God, check our response. We thank you and we praise you. See you in 15 minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.